Hallelujah! Glory to God! Happy New Year, everyone! Wow, I'm super excited at this, you know, new year, new decade that God has ushered us into. For 1 minute, let's just give God praise. Let's just thank Him. Father, thank you for the new year, for the new decade. We thank you, Father, because the path of the just shines brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. It can only get better for us. It cannot get worse. Amen. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for 2020. Thank you, Father, for WLG, for War Romance Conference that held December 2019, for the Lady Love and Sex, for all that you have done with us, you're doing with us and through us. We thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the ones, the ladies, the precious daughters that you've brought into our midst. We thank you. Amen. Glory to God. Well, I'm super, super excited, you know, to bring God's word to you. And I'm also privileged to do this. Really, it's a privilege. It's a serious privilege to bring God's word to God's people. And I'm so excited. Hallelujah. Okay, so this is actually the message for the first At His Feet that we had the first Friday of the year. For those who are just hearing my voice for the first time, who are just joining us, my name is Doreen Omoshele, TMA. TMA means the Mrs. Aaron. I'm married to an amazing man of God by the name Aaron Omoshele, and I'm privileged to be the president of When Ladies Gather. When Ladies Gather is a non-denominational ladies ministry, you know, that has been commissioned to raise ladies into intimacy with God. You know, we are invading the earth, like one of my daughters said, we're invading the earth, you know, and we have core messages that we center on. One of them is the love of God. You will always hear it in this household that God loves you. Hallelujah. I'm super excited to have you here. Thank you for joining in. Some of you saw our flyers, you know, online flyers, and you joined in. I celebrate you. Thank you for coming. You're going to have a wonderful, wonderful time with us. And, you know, during the time you're going to be with us, I can assure you that God's word is going to transform your life in this place. Hallelujah. So towards the ending of last year, God began to, you know, speak to my heart concerning how to raise His daughters. And one of the things He said to me is the teaching, you know, and the preaching of His word. So, you know, He said, I have this Bible study at His feet, you know, where we'll be learning at the feet of Jesus. We'll be learning God's word. Amen. I'm super excited about this. Glory to God. So let's get into the word. But before we do that, let's just share a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for At His Feet. I thank you for you set to do this, and I thank you because you have the people, your daughters in mind. I thank you, Father, for transformation. I thank you, Father, for your word, the entrance of your word that gives light and understanding to the simple and that transforms us as we behold your word. Thank you, Father, for the transformation as we look into your word at every At His Feet. Father, Lord, I ask, oh God, for light, for light. Father, Lord, to everyone listening, oh God, I ask that you grant unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation knowledge. I ask that you flood the eyes of understanding with light. Beyond what I'm saying, oh God, let them hear you. Let them hear you what I'm saying. Father, I ask, oh God, that you cause me to speak as your oracle. Father, give me words for your daughters. Give me words for your people. Cause me to speak as your oracle in the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Alright. So turn with me to the book of Luke chapter 10. Please, at every At His Feet, ensure you have your Bible with you, either hard copy or soft copy, and also have a writing pad. Alright. Glory to God. Okay, so turn with me to Luke chapter 10, verse 38. We'll be reading to 42. Amen. So, Luke chapter 10 verse 38 is about the story of Martha and Mary. Some of us know about the story, some of us do not. But nonetheless, we're going to be reading God's word. Hallelujah. Okay, so I want you to read it out loud, wherever you are. Alright, so verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he, talking about Jesus now, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Verse 40. But Martha was cumbersome about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she may help me. But Jesus answered, verse 41, and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. 42, he says, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. The reading of God's word is blessed. Amen. You know, story of Mary and Martha. Jesus entered into a certain village, and a woman named Martha received, you know, him into a house. All right, and this woman had a sister called Mary. You know, we can assume that this sister was actually a younger sister. Okay, so she received Jesus into her house, and then she had a sister, Mary. But this sister, you know, sat at Jesus' feet, you know, to hear his word. The Bomata, you know, she was just cumbersome about, you know, much serving. I wonder what she was cooking. Whether she was cooking for Iro and egusi and okra together with Semo and Amala. She was just cumbersome about, you know, serving. You know, we that are ladies, for those of you, for a lady, you should be used to kitchen work. Uh-huh. So you understand how it can be in the kitchen. You have to slice onions, you have to peel the mangi, you have to, oh, the water you put in the fire is boiling, you have to turn it into the stockfish, you need to, you know, all of those drama, oh, rice is on the fire, you need to parboil, you need to, who will help you blend, all of those things. So you have to just be doing everything yourself. Sometimes you can feel really cumbered with everything. You can feel so overwhelmed. So she was overwhelmed about all the serving to put the plate, the spoon, all of that. And you know, she came to Jesus and said, it's only me that want to be serving everything. If personally for me, when I'm the eldest of six, when I was in my parents' house before I got married, one of the things I don't like doing, I can cook or I can clean the kitchen a lot. But when it comes to serving people, man, I find it stressful. So I can understand Martha's plight here. Like, because we're six, I have to serve myself, serve every other person. So sometimes I'm like, please, people, come and serve yourself. So I had to start learning how to serve people, you know, and all of that. So she was cumbersome about much serving and putting things in order and all of that. And then she came to Jesus and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me alone to serve? He says, tell her to come and help me. But Jesus said to her, Martha, Martha, I say, you are careful and troubled about many things. And then 42, he said, but one thing is needful. One thing is needful. He says, Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Jesus said, notice, Jesus didn't say, Martha, what you are doing is wrong. No, Jesus didn't rebuke her. Hallelujah. Jesus just told her, see, you are bothered about a lot of things. You are troubled about many things. See, but what Mary has chosen is good. It's the good part of what you're doing. He says, and what she has found, what she's doing is needful. Amen. He says it's needful. It says, and that which she has found cannot be taken away from her. Now, what was she doing? Go to verse 39. She sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Now, what she was doing seemed like it was not so much activity. She is the one that, Martha was the one that was in the kitchen, you know, with the activities of serving, you know, and all of that. But what Mary was doing seemed like there was no activity. But what Martha was doing, there was a lot of activity. But when Jesus weighed what both of them were doing, we see him prioritizing Mary sitting at his feet to listen to his word. We see Jesus prioritizing that which seemed to not have any activity, any jumping around, any moving around, any standing on the pulpit, any holding any conference, any, you know, seeming, you know, being busy for Jesus. You know, there's this, you know, phrase that people say, I'm about my Father's business, which is very good. But we see Jesus here prioritizing sitting at his feet to hear his word. You know, Martha was like, are you not bothered that my sister has left me alone to serve? She said, as she has left me to serve alone. Martha was about service. She prioritized service. But Mary prioritized sitting at the word of Jesus. But Jesus is about both. Jesus is about the word, learning the word of God, and also serving. You get. But he prioritizes hearing the word. Jesus understands that. See, it is only when you can sit at my feet and learn of me that you'll be able to serve me effectively. Jesus is not about serving, service, 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 you know, workforce, workforce, activity, activity, activity. That's not his major, you know, thing when it comes to him relating with us. Jesus is about us learning of him. Hallelujah. You know, the truth is this. There are a lot of believers right now. I'm sure a lot of most people, when they got into 2020, they had a whole list of things they want to do for Jesus. They want to go to places for Jesus, they want to do a lot of things for Jesus. And they didn't have any list of how they're going to spend time with the word of Jesus. You know, how they're going to listen to messages, you know, have quiet time, spend time with Jesus for their spiritual growth. But they had a list of a lot of things they want to do for the kingdom. Now Jesus was bringing a balance here. He was saying, see, you have a lot of ambitions and goals that you're just troubled about. He said, but one thing is needful: listening to my word. Because there are a lot of things to do for the kingdom. I'm telling you, there are a lot of things you can do for the kingdom, but one thing is needful. When you sit at the feet of Jesus to hear his word, you'll be able to know that one thing that you are called to do, that you are meant to do. Everybody can be doing a lot of things for the kingdom, but if you do not sit at the feet of Jesus to hear his word, to fellowship with him, to be intimate with him, you will not know that which God wants you to do specifically. There's a specific way he wants you to serve him. There's a specific way God wants you to serve him. There is something specific about what God wants you to do this year, 2020. There is something specific that God wants to do with your life. But you need to sit at his feet and hear his word. Why is the word of God so important? Why is the word of God so important? I'll read some scriptures to show us why God's word is important. 1 Peter 1 verse 23. If you have your Bible, stand there. 1 Peter 1 verse 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Beloved, see, if you're born again here, I want you to know that you are born of the word of God. The word of God actually gave birth to you. That's the truth. So when you talk about your what makes up the new man in Christ, the Word of God, the new man in Christ was made by the Word of God. So that's why Jesus was saying in Matthew 4:4 that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Serving is not what gave birth to you. Amen. It's the Word of God that gave birth to you. So for you to be able to live, for you to be able to live the God kind of life, you need to feed on that Word. You need to feed on God's Word. The Bible tells us also that says, being born again, not of the incorruptible, being born again, not of the incorruptible seed, but of the Word of God. You were born by your physical parents. Your physical parents gave birth to you. The egg, you know, mixed with the sperm, and that's what gave birth to you. But your new birth in Christ Jesus, when you came out and said, Lord Jesus, I confess you as my Lord and Savior, come into my heart. When you did that, and you got born again, what actually gave birth to you, the seed that gave birth to you, is the Word of God. Amen. So when they look at your born again spirit DNA now, we see part of the coding, you know, is God's Word. So you are born of the Word. So for you to be able to grow in this Christian walk that you've been born into, it has to be by the Word. Amen. The man that Jesus was saying does not live by bread alone. It's not the natural man. The natural man can live by eating, feeding, things that appeal to his flesh, food, watching movies, getting entertained and all of that. They can live by that alone. But the new man in Christ does not live by those things alone. We live by the Word. Hallelujah. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:2, it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. Amen. So for you to be able to grow in your walk with God, in the God kind of life, if you're born again and you don't want to live a life that is just ordinary, the natural man is going through something, you too are going through it, everybody's complaining of a particular issue, people are not born again, you too are experiencing the same issue. If you don't want to live like a normal, natural man when you're born again, you need to desire the sincere milk of the Word of God, that you may grow spiritually, that you may grow thereby. So what exactly is God's Word? Many of us don't know what God's Word is. The Bible tells us what God's Word is. The Bible says in John 1 verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then it says in verse 2, it says, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. You're not just, you know, made by the Word. The Word of God made you. It made your new recreated human spirit. The Word also made everything that we can see today. Amen. The Bible tells us in book of Hebrews 11. Bible tells us in book of Hebrews 11 verse 3. It says that all things were framed through faith. We understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made by things which are visible. So the things we see today, the worlds was framed by the Word of God. So going back to John 1 verse 1, it says the Word made all things. It says all things were made by the Word, and without the Word was not anything made that was made. See, beloved, if you want to be made this year, if you want to be made for life, you have to take the Word of God seriously. It says all things were made by Him, and without Him, the Word now, was not anything made that was made. Little wonder Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Maybe doing something. But when you bring it to the level at which, you know, the God realm, it is nothing. God wants us to have results that are of the God order. Results that of God kind. God kind of results. Amen.
God wants us to have God, cannot common sense results. He wants us to have God kind of results. When you open up your mouth and you tell people the experiences that you have, they are surprised. On New Year's Eve, my husband and I, you know, long story short, we walked somewhere and towards our house, and then some robbers came, you know, but they didn't harass us. They didn't take anything from us. They just walked away. They drove off. They drove off. They were on bike. They drove off. They stopped. You know, they were just trying. It's like they were confused. Amen. But how can it be such a natural man tells you, someone that's not born again tells you that I was robbed. They took everything from me. And you are born again. The same thing happened to you. Come on. It shouldn't be. Amen. Our experiences are meant to be different. We see this happening, you know, in the children of Israel, like when God was decided to show the children of Israel that the people of Egypt, that the children of Israel are a different kind of breed. They are different. They are chosen people. The Bible calls us, we are chosen generation. When there was darkness in Egypt, there was, you know, there was light for the children of Israel. When, you know, certain plagues and, you know, fleas and, you know, all sorts were flying in Egypt, none was in the children of Israel's camp. When the children of the world are going through Ebola, all those things, we that were born again, we're not meant to experience those things. Amen. Have you been experiencing things that the people of the world has been experiencing? It's time to get angry. It's time to get into the word of God and take God's word and sit at his feet and learn of his word. You are born of God's word. You are meant to be experiencing the word. Many believers are not experiencing God's word for themselves. Is the truth. Amen. Verse 4, John 1. It says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. It says, and light shines in darkness. It says, and the light shines in darkness, and darkness comprehends it not. See, in the word of God is life. In the word of God is life. If you're looking for the God kind of life, it's found in the word of God. This life here I was talking about is not the normal kind of life. It says in him was life. Because Jesus said, he said in the book of John, he said, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. He wasn't talking to people that were dead. He was talking to people that are alive. Amen. So in the word of God, in him was life. The God kind of life. There is such a thing as a God kind of life. He says in God kind of life is the light of men. It says, and this light that is in the God kind of life. It says, when this light shines in darkness, verse 5 of John 1. It says, darkness cannot comprehend it. Darkness cannot understand it. You cannot light. Darkness flees from it. Amen. The Bible was speaking of God in 1 John 1. It says, in him is light, and there is no darkness at all. If you are born again, have you experiencing darkness in your life? See, it's because the word of God has not flowed through in that area. The moment you take God's word and God's word starts flowing in that area, darkness cannot comprehend it. Darkness will flee. Amen. Glory to God. And if you jump to verse 14, he now told us, he said, and the word was made flesh. This word that we're talking about, that in him was life and the light was the light of men, it says this word was made flesh and he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. What exactly is the word of God? The word of God is God, because in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. The word of God is Jesus. Amen. Jesus is the word of God. So the word of God actually became flesh. You need to understand that, you know, before Jesus came, it was not Jesus in heaven. It was the word. It was not Jesus in heaven. It was the word that became flesh, that became Jesus. Amen. I'll say it again. It was the word that became flesh, that became Jesus. See, the word of God can become anything for you. The word of God can become anything for you. The word of God has the ability
to transform into anything. It can transform your life. It can transform into whatever it is you're looking for. The word of God is not something you can see. It's not tangible, but the word of God can be transformed into something that can be seen. That's why the Bible says that we understand in Hebrews 11 verse 3, that we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, that things which are seen were not made by things which are visible. The word of God, which is something which cannot be seen, was actually what made what we can see today. I want you to know that, see, at his feet is where it all begins. It's not by jumping around. Amen. It's not by, you know, holding meetings, holding crusades, holding conferences, having to do stuffs, you know, and all of that. It's not about activity. Mm-mm. Where it all begins is at his feet. Because it's when you get God's word into your spirit, when you start running with the word of God, you get results. You get the God kind of results. Amen. Mary now, sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing his word, if she stands up and enters into that kitchen, she will bring out something. She will serve Jesus in a God-class kind of way. I perceive so strongly in my spirit that, you know, there's someone here listening to me. You have been struggling, you know, trying to do things for the kingdom. Your intentions are good. In fact, God even called you to do what you're doing. But the truth is this, you do not prioritize sitting at the feet of Jesus to learn at his feet. So you are not getting results. It's like you're struggling. This message is for you. It's time to prioritize sitting at the feet of Jesus. People may think that, you are no longer relevant. Your name is no longer, people are not hearing you. You're not seeing anything about you anymore and all of that. Don't worry. Sit at the feet of Jesus like Mary did. When it's time to stand up and enter into that kitchen and take up that assignment, when you pick it up, they will know that somebody that God has sent has come. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So Jesus is actually the word of God. He is the word of God. Amen. The word of God is Jesus. Amen. The word of God became Jesus. Amen. So when you say I'm following after Jesus, you know, following hard after Jesus, it's not like you have a calendar somewhere in your room and you're looking, or you have wallpaper of Jesus. No, following hard after Jesus, actually following hard after the word, sitting at his feet to hear his word, is deliberating getting to feed on the word of God, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, I love that verse so much. In verse 39, it says she sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. What she did was deliberate. You know, this is a year of living by intentional living. For somebody to sit down is a conscious effort. It's not just, you know, something you... It's a conscious effort. See, ladies, at when ladies gather, this year I want us to deliberately be intentional about feeding on the word of God. She sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. She was intentional about it. You have to be intentional about feeding on Jesus. Sitting at his feet is inclining your ears to his word. The Bible says in Proverbs 4, it says, my son, incline your ears to my saying. Let them not depart out of your heart. Incline your ears to my saying. It's a deliberate thing. Some of you see people, you know, who are growing up spiritually and are wondering, it doesn't just come on anybody. You have to be deliberate about it. At his feet is God telling us that, see, if you want to grow up spiritually, if you want to do exploits for me, if you want to serve me with experts and do experts for the kingdom, you have to be deliberate about your spiritual life. You have to be deliberate about God's word. You have to sit down at my feet. Bringing this in practical terms is saying, every day, 30 minutes, I'll read my Bible. Every day, 1 hour, I'll read the word. Every day, 30 minutes, I'll study the word of God. Every day, 1 hour, I'll study God's word. You have to be deliberate this year. Hallelujah. Praise God. Proverbs 4, let me just quote it for us. Proverbs 4, verse 20, says, my son, attend to my word. Incline your ears to my sayings. Verse 21 says, let them not depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your
heart. 22 says, for they are life unto those that find them and earth to all thy flesh. It says, my son, attend to my words. It's something you have to do deliberately. Do you understand? You have to attend. Some of us don't have a daily attendance of God's word. We only attend to God's word once in the week when it's Sunday. Or for those of you who even go for weekly meetings. That's the only time you attend to God's word. And it shouldn't be. Amen. The Bible tells us in Joshua 1 verse 8. It says, meditate on the word of God day and night. Day and night. Say, for then you shall have good success. So it has to be consistent. It has to be daily, daily consistency. You have to be consistent day and night, day and night, day and night. Every day you are meditating on God's word. You have to attend to God's word. You have to incline your ears. How do you incline your ear? You know when somebody wants to, maybe you're in a meeting with somebody, the person taps you and tells you, come. And then you bring your ear. You are deliberate about it. You are intentional about it. Hallelujah. So you have to intentionally feed on God's word this year. Don't wait for it to come on you. Put structures in place. Hallelujah. It says, for their life unto those that find them and health to their flesh. Amen. You know, it's so amazing that Martha came to Jesus and said, tell Mary, can't you tell her to come and meet me in the kitchen to serve? And Jesus looked and said, No. Martha came and told Jesus to rebuke her sister. Assistant, tell her to come and assist her in the kitchen cooking. I remember she was sitting at the feet to hear the word himself speak. She was automatically saying, Mary, leave hearing the word and come and join me in kitchen activity. Come and leave hearing the word and come and join me in kingdom business. Leave hearing the word and come and join me in, you know, about my father. How does that sound to you? Leave hearing the word and come and join me, you know, in doing things for God. But what was Jesus' response? What was Jesus' response? Jesus said, Martha, you are troubled, you are worried about a lot of things. He said, but what Mary is doing is what is very important. What Mary is doing is what is important in the whole equation. Hallelujah. See, anything that takes you out of hearing the word of God into intimacy is not needed in your life. Hallelujah. Anything, be it a relationship, be it a guy that takes you out of that place of intimacy, hearing the word of God, be it even kingdom business. In fact, you can see that it's even, what she was doing was good. Serving Jesus is good. She wants to serve Jesus. She wants to give Jesus something to eat. She wants to honor Jesus. But anything that takes you away from hearing the word of God and brings you into honoring, you know, that brings you into activity and where you get to honor and do things for God is not needed in your life. The balance is you are hearing the word of God and you're also doing things that honor God. That's how it should be. Because before you know it, people who have left the hearing of the word of God, who have left intimacy with God to doing things for the kingdom, are doing all manner of things now. Hallelujah. Jesus told Martha, I said, see, I won't tell Mary to leave hearing my word to serve me, as much as that is good. The truth is, what Mary is doing is needed. Jesus also said, Mary has chosen a good part. The original word for the good there means benefit. What Mary was doing was what she was doing was going to benefit her more than what Martha was doing. You can see that God is not just, God is not a user of men. God is not just saying, work for me. Like, just go and be working for me. there are some bosses in this 9-to-5 in Lagos. All they care about is their staff delivering. They don't care about the well-being of their staff. It's not somebody that is, you know, mentally and emotionally okay that can deliver to you. But some companies in this, you know, in our world today, especially in Nigeria, they don't care. Just say deliver, deliver, deliver. And then people are not going through, they are not breaking down. Jesus doesn't want us to do stuff and we are breaking down. No. If you are doing stuff for God and you are breaking down, please, you need to have a retreat. You need to go and sit at his feet. Amen. You know, there's a company that, you know, my husband works for. He does some online stuff for. Yeah, it's a US, you know, body, Google. And then he was telling me how that there was a time he wasn't really consistent with what he was doing for the company, because he got busy with work in Lagos and all. And then they sent him a message. They're like, what's wrong with you? If you need, like, medical or psychological or what exactly is going on, talk to us. And I was like, wow, this company, they're just, these guys are wise. They're not just like, okay, why are you not delivering? Deliver. They're also concerned about your life. Because they know that if you're not mentally fine, emotionally fine, you can't deliver. Jesus is not after us, you know, delivering, going out for him, you know, doing stuff. He knows that you can't give what you don't have. And it's that sitting at my feet that you can actually take from me and then give out. Amen. He said, abide in me. John 15 says, abide in me and I abide in you. And it is in this abiding alone that you produce much fruit. If you want to produce for Jesus, if you want to be productive for Jesus, you have to abide with him. You have to abide with him. What's abiding with Jesus? His word has to abide in you. The Bible says in Colossians, it says that let the word of God, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's how you're able to produce fruit. Some of you have been trying to do a lot of things, but you are just worried. You are breaking down for God, though. You are breaking down for God. How you be breaking down for God? It means that you are trying to give what you don't have. Why not sit at his feet and get substance? Hallelujah. Jesus said in John 15, he says, I'm the vine, you are the branches. It's only those that abide in me that will bear fruit. Amen. Glory to God. If you want to abide in, if you want to bear fruit for you, want to do stuff for you, want to serve Jesus, want to serve the kingdom, you know, you want to do stuff effectively, you have to abide, you have to sit at his feet. Amen. Glory to God. I believe we're getting blessed. Amen. You know, Jesus said to Mary, say, what Mary said to Martha, say, what Mary was doing, she has chosen the good part. And what she was doing was, it was going to benefit her more. Now, like I said, what Martha was doing wasn't bad. She wanted to serve Jesus. She wanted to be the best choir mistress. She wanted to be the most serious evangelist. You know, wanted to win a lot of souls. She wanted to be the one known to be about her father's business. But her priority was misplaced. See, in this, you know, in this walk of purpose, in this journey of purpose, there are priorities. And the priority is, number one priority is intimacy with Jesus. That's the number one priority. Amen. Jesus told her, see, you are troubled about many things. If only you can just sit down and listen to me, you will know how to go about serving me better. Many ladies right now, you know, they are just in so many godly activities. They are troubled. Which one will I do? I hold conference. They are even doing things. They're not even knowing what God is telling them to do. They are just doing things, activity. Higher. And see, truth is, God is not going to reward us for activities that he did not send us to do. Amen. He's going to reward our works that are done in faith and love. Works that were done in response to what he commanded us to do. Works that were done in response of love, motivated by love, not works that, you know, will just pass through the fire and they will just burn. Works that I did not send you to do. Amen. Glory to God. This is at his feet. Amen. This kind of approach to just doing things, if you want to be like Martha, she's just in the kitchen and your priority is misplaced, you will find out that one thing, you'll find out you are not growing spiritually. The first approach to growing up spiritually is not service. It's not service unto God. It's actually feeding on his word. I'll say that again. The first approach to growing up spiritually is not service. It is feeding on the word. That's why I have an issue with, you know, when you go to some churches and then you just get born again, or you are first time and then they want to lock you into, put you into one unit. And I'm like, No. It's wrong. I'm serious. It's wrong. That should not be. It says, 1 Peter 2:2. It says, desire the sincere milk of the word of God that you may grow thereby. As newborn babes. Desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. The business of a new believer, a newborn babe, is not to desire a position or to serve in a unit. It's to desire the word of God. Now, we ask many people that are serving in units right now, they don't have any appetite for the word of God. They have appetite for who will anchor this, who will do this, who will do that. Amen. Many believers have been burdened with activities and church tasks, and they are not growing spiritually. This is not good. This is not good at all. Jesus said, what Mary was doing is a good part she has chosen. You have to be deliberate about your spirit. She chose it. She chose to sit down at his feet. She had a choice. She had to make a choice. Should I go and meet Martha in the kitchen, or should I sit at Jesus' feet? Which one should I do? But she chose rightly. So you have to choose. Do I really want to take my spiritual life seriously? Or do I want to just be doing every other thing? It has to be a decision. It has to be a personal decision that you have to make. This year, I implore you, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, make it a personal decision that you would grow this year spiritually, that you will feed on the word of God. Amen. She made a personal decision. Hallelujah. What decision are you making? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus saw that what Mary did is a good approach towards serving God. Serving God doesn't begin by running around holding conferences. Serving God does not begin by all those things. Serving God begins by learning at his feet, hearing his word. When you hear his word, you will learn of Christ. Paul was speaking to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians 4 verse 20. He says, but you have not so learned Christ. 21. It says, if so be that you have learned of him, and you have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Verse 22, it says, you will put off the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Verse 24. You know, it says, and you will put on the new man, which is after God, created in righteousness and true holiness. The truth is this, a lot of people who are doing stuff for God, they have not learned of Christ. They don't know him. It says, if you really have learned of Christ, you will represent him well. You see somebody right now, he says he's a pastor of a church and he's sleeping around with all the church members. That person has not learned of Christ. You can see that it's not activity first that is Jesus' priority for us. It's actually getting to know him. Don't let anybody hurry you out of that phase. It is a basic phase you must get in your initial, walk with God. The ABCs of faith that Paul was talking about, in the book of Hebrews. It's the ABCs of faith. Repentance from dead work. Faith towards, there are things that have to be basic. You have to learn these things first, so that you can learn how to represent him. If so be that you have learned of him, and you have been taught by Jesus as the truth is in Christ. He said you will put off the old man. You will do away with the things of the old man. You do away with sin. You do away with the practices of the sin conscious man. Amen. There is such a thing as the learning of Christ before the serving of Christ. Hallelujah. There is such a thing as the learning of Christ before the serving of Christ. Before you start serving God, doing things for God, serving God, you have to learn of him. There's such a thing as the learning of Christ before service unto Christ. Let's put it that way. Service unto Christ. Learning of Christ comes before service unto Christ. If you don't learn of Christ and sit at his feet to be taught by him, you won't know how to put off the old man and his deeds. And you won't be able to serve him effectively. Many are sister cords right now occupying positions in churches, but they still practice and live corrupt lives. Why? They haven't learned about Christ, so they are not represented. They don't know him. When you learn of Christ and you are being taught by him, your soul will become transformed. Hallelujah. You put off the old man. You do away with the things that you used to do. Have you not seen that some leaders who are still suffering with the pornography they suffered when they were not born again? They are now deacons. They are still suffering it. They are now leaders. They are now GOs. They are still suffering. What? That means they didn't sit down to learn of Christ. The learning of Christ brings about true transformation. See, beloved, don't be in a hurry to be like Martha. You see everyone doing things and you want to do too, beloved. Calm down. sit at his feet. One thing is needful. Sit at my feet and learn of me, Jesus said. Jesus is not difficult to learn. Jesus is not rocket science. It is theologians and religion people that have made him look difficult. He's not. Jesus said to the Pharisees that, you know, because of your traditions, you have made the commandment of God ineffective. Jesus is simple.
It's not difficult to learn. Don't let anyone complicate working with God for you. Have you messed up? He is ready and willing to forgive you. You don't have to hit your head 5 times on the floor and be like, ah, God, forgive me, God, before you can have an intimate walk with Jesus. No. No. He wants you. He loves you. Stop feeling like, you know, you have done so many terrible things that God doesn't want to be close to you. He wants to be close to you.
Bible says in Ephesians 1 verse 6, he has accepted you in the beloved. You have been accepted already by God. You're not trying to gain any acceptance. You are already his beloved. You are in the beloved. So you are his beloved. So he has accepted you. 1 John 4 verse 19. It says, we love him because he first loved us. So you have to receive the love of God. He loves you. Even what you have done, yes, he loves you. But he wants to transform you. Amen. He wants to walk in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Hallelujah. I love Matthew 11 verse 28-29. It says, come unto me that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest for your soul. But the devil tells you, if you have issues in your life, if you committed 5 abortions, if you've done terrible things, he tells you, run away from Jesus. But Jesus is saying, come. Hey, Jesus is saying, come unto me that labor. You've gone through, you're struggling, you have gone through pain, heartbreak. You have cried, you've done things that you're not proud of. Your life is like, you are struggling. You have been laden with everything, burden. Imagine you're a young lady, 20, you've committed abortion. You're a young lady, you have had sex with multiple people. You've done crazy things, unspeakable things. That's heavy for you. Jesus said, come and I will give you rest for your soul. Aya, the Bible says in Hebrews 4. The Bible says in Hebrews 4. Verse 16, it says, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Are you hearing me and you have made terrible mistakes? Jesus is saying, come. He's saying, come unto me that are heavy laden. Come unto me. He's saying to come. He's saying to come. He's saying, come boldly. Come boldly. Come boldly. Come unto me. He says, come boldly unto the throne of grace, that you may obtain mercy. He wants to have mercy upon you. He doesn't want to kill you. He doesn't want to kill you. Jesus doesn't want to kill you. He wants to have mercy on you. Hallelujah. He's saying to come. He wants to give you rest, beloved. The more you run away from Jesus, the more trouble for your soul you would find. But when you come to him, he will give you rest for your soul. He will give you rest for your soul. Verse 29, it says, learn of me. That's in Matthew 11 now. It says, learn of me and you will find rest for your soul. There's such a thing as the learning of Christ. The learning of Christ sitting at his feet brings about all round rest. Are you troubled? It's time to sit at his feet. It's time to sit at his feet and feed on his word. It's time to hear the words of Jesus. Get a Bible plan and start reading. That's a good place to start. Hallelujah. Amen. This message, listen to it over and over again. Amen. Jesus loves you. Feed your heart with his word. All the scriptures that are, you know, mentioned, you know, in this teaching, go back. Feed on it. Read it to yourself. Hallelujah. Listen to the word of God over and over again. Hallelujah. Jesus is not around on the earth in person, but he is in believers. He is in ministers. He's in believers. He's ministering to the world through ministers of the gospel. Amen. Jesus is ministering to you right now. As I'm speaking, he's ministering to you right now. He's saying to you, come, 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 come unto me. Come unto me. He wants to have mercy upon you. He wants to have mercy on you. He wants to have mercy on you. He loves you so dearly. Amen. Did you live a burdenful, filled, troubled 2019 life? You need to come to Jesus and learn at his feet. Amen. You need to feed on the word of Jesus. You need to feed on the word of Jesus. It's at the word of, that is word at the place, that's where you find rest. At the place of rest, you are not worried, you are not troubled, because Jesus takes the wheel and solves all issues. Hallelujah. If you are tired of being the boss and driver and Lord and Savior of your own life, you need to come to Jesus. Sandabalahaya. You know, there are ladies, you know, you've tried to find your own man that will love you. Jump, in fact, this has made you jump from relationships, done terrible things, because you are trying to be the boss of your life. Come. Jesus says, come. He knows the right man for you. Hallelujah. Not every man is your husband. Hey. Not every man is your husband. There's a man for you. He says, come, and you will find rest for your soul. It will give you the direction. It will lead you to the right man. Hallelujah. Or rather, I will read the right man to you. Hallelujah. This is your time. If you are not born again, if you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, this is your time. This is your time. This is your moment. Jesus wants to have mercy on you. He says to come. Come boldly. He came. Not for those who have it all together. He came for those who are broken as well. He came to bring rest, to give you rest. He came to bring salvation to you. He loves you so dearly. If you're listening to me, I know you're born again. And you want to make Jesus the Lord of your life. I want you to say this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I confess you as Lord and Savior. Come and be the Lord of my life. Come and be my Savior. I believe that you were raised from the dead for my sins. I believe you died for me. I believe you were raised for my sins, for my sake. And I call you Lord. I confess you Lord. I confess you Savior. If you just said that prayer, I want to say big congratulations. You are now born again. Hallelujah. And it's time to sit at his feet and learn of him. If you've also been born again, we also need to learn of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. See you next week at his feet. I believe you were blessed. If you said that prayer and you're born again, you can send me a message or Gmail message at DoreenAaronOfficial@gmail.com, or you can message us at WhenLadiesGather@gmail.com. Look forward to hearing from you. I love you. God bless you.